Well, I guess we'll begin. There may be a couple more coming, but I think we'll start. Good afternoon. I don't know if I can handle talking to all these lovely ladies, but I'm going to try. Fruitfulness and our race with age. Welcome to the race. Lee does some running a couple mornings a week. And on his cell phone, he has an app that's called a Run Keeper. And it records the time and the distance and how many miles per minute. And I had the question, what would God's Run Keeper tell you and me about our pace with spreading his word and with the fruit we bear? So, I'd like to look at some verses in Isaiah 6. And you might say, Isaiah 6? So just bear with me until we get to the point. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, why would the Bible record the death of a king? Did you ever think about certain things? Why is it in the Bible? But it was really significant. Uzziah had been a good king, but one day he offered a sacrifice in the Holy of Holies, and that was only for the priest. That was only for priests to go in and offer sacrifices, and so he got leprosy and died. And Isaiah was the prophet at this time, and it must have been a very traumatic time in his life, because he records this of what he saw. And he says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And since what happened to King Uzziah in that one act of disobedience, I think maybe Isaiah was feeling some reverent fear. And then he continues on, and he's trained. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Why do brides have a train on their gown? It's a mark of significance. And perhaps, well, the longer the train, the more servants you needed to carry that train. And if some of you have seen Prince William and Kate's wedding pictures, or maybe you saw the wedding, she had a very long train, because she was a significant person. But I've never seen any that filled the whole temple like Isaiah says, the Lord's train filled the whole temple. And above it were seraphims, each had six wings. Two covered his face. Even God's servants weren't worthy to look on his face. And two covered his feet. It's very rude to expose your feet, especially in certain cultures. Maybe not the American culture so much. But in Thailand, if you expose the bottoms of your feet when you were sitting visiting, it's very rude, very insulting. And so two covered their feet. And with two they flew and cried one to another, holy, holy, holy. And I believe that's in reference to the Trinity, the three holies. Holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out of the house and was filled with smoke. That's power. And Isaiah is sitting there witnessing all this. And then he concludes in verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, and he's sensing how unworthy he is. And he was a prophet, but he realizes how very small he is in comparison to the greatness of God. And I believe that that is a very important thing for us to realize, how small we are. If we're going to be fruitful, I believe we have to sense our unworthiness before God. And what a privilege it is to represent him. And then verse 6 and 7 say that the seraphim flew to Isaiah, and having a live coal in his hand, taken from the tongues from the altar, touched Isaiah's mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away." Isn't that a beautiful picture of redemption? Wow. The old becomes new when we're forgiven. And I think all of you here have done that. You've had your sins forgiven. You have experienced redemption. And so our lips have been touched with that live coal. And then the voice says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Again, referring to the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." What a beautiful response. Doesn't that paint a good picture in your mind of how Isaiah was just enthralled by the glory of God, how he felt his unworthiness, and being touched by that live coal, and then responding, so beautiful, "Here am I, send me." And Isaiah wasn't the only one in the Bible that responded this way. We have a lot of examples. Noah, for example, God said, "Build an ark," and it had never rained. And it wasn't really a three-week project, but Noah did it. And so we have lots of wars recorded in the Old Testament, and it looked impossible for them to win, but God performed miracles and they had victory. So that's a God, the kind of God we serve. So we can't really respond in any less way, can we, than Isaiah did. "Here am I, send me." We see our unworthiness. We see the greatness of God. And after we've experienced that live coal on our lips, and we know our iniquities are forgiven, we can say, "Here am I, send me." And then the last verse, verse 9, or the last that we're looking at, says, "Go and tell this people." And this people is your neighbors, your family, the people that God has placed in your life. And perhaps it'll be people in another country, perhaps somebody in your state or province. But he says, "Go to those that hear, but they don't understand, and to those who see, but they don't perceive." And we all know that the world's very full of those kind of people that need love and need the gospel. And I like what Elizabeth Elliot writes. "Missionaries are meant to be people who love him enough to carry that gospel message to others, whether they cross the ocean or simply cross a street." And so I was thinking about this, and I would say that probably the ages of 45 to 60, 65, are the peak years of service for people. They've already had a little experience at the age of 45. They're still energetic and visionary. And if you look across the church, a lot of the leaders fall in that age bracket. And that's how our organizations within the church are maintained and they're growing. So I have a little project here I'd like for you to do. And if somebody'd like to help me pass these out. Everybody gets a plate and a cup. Should I have a plate, please? Come on, you just pass half of the plate out to each one. Now, I don't know how many are here. I have 50. So we can double up and two could do one, but I'm not sure. Let's see. We could count quickly, I guess. Okay, I'd like you to dump the pecans in the on the plate. And then pick out the shells. There's still shells with them. And you can put them in the cup. And then when you have them clean, you can pour them back in your plastic bag. I'll give you a few minutes. those are the pecans that you want to keep, you can put back in your plastic bag. Okay, I'm not going to come and inspect how good a job you did, but I'm wondering, you probably kept all the nice big pieces. What about those little ones? Good. You know, maybe we have a tendency to, sometimes to discard the itty-bitty pieces. And perhaps that's the thought pattern of a lot of people. You know, when you get older, you're kind of insignificant. You can't really do what you used to do. And, yeah, it maybe isn't verbalized, but we can have that mentality. The large ones, the most important people in that age group are very important. Yes? You can't?
No.
There's room up here in the front. Would you like to come up here? Or you can just pull your chairs closer because, yeah. They didn't give me a mic. So you know those large pecans are very useful, we think. And that age group in the church is very useful. But what about when we get older? And, you know, the ages that I mentioned, they're in the leadership position, and then as we get older, sometimes we can feel we're not needed. And right here is an important thing, too. I think a lot of you are not at the place yet where you maybe feel like you're older, and perhaps your husband has not yet, or if you're single, you're still in harness. But you can kind of feel that, well, you're not too important. But you at your age that are still in harness, well, I feel like I'm in harness too, but I'm older. But anyway, you can really encourage the older ones. Don't make them feel like they're not useful. Make them feel useful and include them in your activities or things that you think that they could do. But anyway, we can feel as we get older that we're insignificant and we can kind of fade out of the picture, but I believe that's the devil's tactics. He wants the followers of Jesus to think their job's done and that their needs are more important. But I believe the focus of every believer should be to love and obey God regardless of their age and reach out to those who are unreached. The verse, to be crucified with Christ, means we have no other future plans for ourselves. And just because we may not be any longer in those key positions, we can still be useful, just like those little pecans. What kind do you use in cookies? And maybe some of you didn't have a lot of small pieces. Some bags may have had more than others. But those little ones are the ones we use in cookies, so they are important. And so, if you're no longer a big nut, you can be happy you're a little one. Perhaps we spend too much time waiting, you know, waiting for something big and exciting to happen, instead of moving on to fulfill what God has for us. So yeah, perhaps your husband has passed the mantle on to a younger person. Or if you're a single person, perhaps your job has kind of, you know, you're retiring. And but we're still able to do so much. Everybody can be a prayer warrior. And we heard that this morning. We had those cards to fill out. And I think it'd be great if they'd have 6 or 7 for every time slot in there that we would be praying. And as older ladies, I think we have experience that we maybe don't even realize. It's more valuable than what we realize. And there's so many avenues of service. And you might think, well, I can't get up in front of people. But making a difference one life at a time is what's important. It can be a simple act or either a lifetime of dedication to God and humanity, and it sends a ripple through time and eternity, and it's a thread in the tapestry that God's designing of our lives. Our speech and actions are so important, and not just when we're officially witnessing at all times. There was a girl that came over to IGO, and in the course of conversation one time, she told me that I had got her in trouble for taking food out of the refrigerator at SMBI. And that was a little thread that was woven in her life. And I didn't remember, but she did. And I don't think she had a real good feeling about it, but there's so many good threads, too, that each one of you I know have woven. Often, you didn't even realize it, but you impacted a life. And there'd be many instances you could share with it of appreciation for those small things that you did for others and how it met a need in that person's life at a specific time. And, you know, I think sometimes we're most effective when we don't even realize it. And I just love the verse in Proverbs 11:25 that says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." So, how do we refresh others as we get older? Well, Lee and I were asked to go to Thailand, and I know that that's not God's plan for everybody, because there's opportunities wherever you are, whatever continent. And I often wondered why God waited till I was 68 years old to ask us to go to Thailand. I often wish, well, I was a little younger and maybe we could stay a little longer and I could tear into it a little bit more, you know. Don't have quite the energy I did when I was younger. But God in his wisdom knew exactly when to send us. He knew that if we went over there and rushed around, we were not going to impress the Thai people. There was a white missionary, not a Mennonite, but I don't know if you ever read the book by, I forget his first name, but Sanborn. And his son had been over there for 18 years as missionary. And we talked to them, and he said, oh, yeah. He said, the Thai people just look at these foreigners that come and rush around and kind of laugh. Then when they slow down, take time to build relationships, they'll listen. So, God knew what he was doing. And not because it was Lee and I, but we heard time and time again how it was just so great for the students to have an older grandparent figure around. I think it gave them a sense of stability, that if 40 years old would have been the oldest that was there, that maybe wouldn't have been present. And I believe there's such a wealth and potential in older people that have had experience and to be available to go to different mission places as house parents or wherever God calls you. But there's a vast ministry out there for all ages. And, you know, when you go to another country, it's not all roses. There were things to work through. The students weren't my bosom buddies, and it was kind of hard, you know, because of the age gap. But we were their grandparent figure, and just to be there, I think, was important, and they just liked that. And there were a couple of us that were older, several couples. There's Miriam. She's not quite in that age bracket yet, but we had good times together, and Val's wife and I did, and yeah, we had good times together, and I did have interaction with the students. I helped with the mentoring program. Each student was in a group of four or five and got together with a mentor, and they shared tough times in their life, and we tried to work through these things. But anyway, then I hosted the staff and church ladies twice a month, and we usually had a visiting guest teacher, which for a term, and a term is 3 weeks. And so I would often take their wives fabric shopping, or I made quite a few trips to the hospital and doctor with students and other people also. And so there are things to do. They might not be that big nut thing, but they have their place. And so I think it's very basic, that we give our lives in production for the Lord. We're to be productive regardless what age we're at. And I just love the analogy that Paul Hathaway uses. I don't know if you know Paul Hathaway. He has an organization called Asia Harvest. And he has a monthly report. And in the May report, he said the Dead Sea holds a great lesson for us. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea because it's just bacteria and other organisms. Yet there's 153 rivers and streams that flow into the Dead Sea, including the Jordan River. And all that fresh water and life that flows in just dies because it's nowhere to go. And it doesn't have a single outlet. So this is a lesson, I think, for us. Without an active and effective outlet for our faith, we're going to become stagnant and die also. It's just essential. If we just take care of our own needs, it's a negative effect on us and everybody around us. And God doesn't bless us just to be happy, but he blesses us to reach out to the unsaved and give refreshment to those parched lives that are around us. In Psalms 126, 5 and 6, he says, "He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." Now, I have a few ideas to share with you that, you know, as we get older, we may not have quite the energy or quite as full a schedule that we can keep up with, but we can still be productive. And perhaps this will not apply to, this looks like a pretty hale and hearty group, so you might not be at this point yet, but just remember, and God forbid, but our lives can change so quickly. If we lose a spouse or become very sick, or there's still things that we can do, or maybe you have members in your church that could benefit by some of these suggestions. Or singles, you know, as they retire. Or maybe they're taking care of a parent and then they die. It's quite traumatic and your life changes drastically. But, and while I'm talking about this, I hope that you think of some things too that you've done or seen that people in their senior years have been productive and blessed others. I read about a granny camp that you could take your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews camping. And, you know, if your grandchildren aren't living geographically close to you, you can take other children. Children are very impressive, and you can really be an instrument in their little journey of life. And there's so many lessons to teach them outdoors about God and nature. And, you know, you don't have to take them to a campsite. You can have them in your backyard. Or, and it wouldn't have to be overnight, whatever, you know, depends on your energy level or what you want to do. But that was just an idea that I thought was kind of neat. And also, elderly in a nursing home might just really enjoy if you brought your little cuddly kitten or puppy dog in to see them. You would have to check with the authorities, but they'd probably allow you to take it in and cheer that person in a nursing home. You probably wouldn't want to take a St. Bernard, but yeah. And I imagine that there are a lot of you here that play the piano or another instrument, and you could just go and encourage singles, a new mother, a sick person, by giving them a personal concert. They just enjoy that, I'm sure. And another really unique thing was, and this, my sister is older than I am, but this was probably 15 years ago. She loved to make scrapbooks, and she made nice ones, with colored pictures, you know, calendar pictures and Bible verses and that kind of thing. And she would make these scrapbooks and then give them to Lee and I. And we could give them to people in the hospital or whatever visits we had. And yeah, that's such a neat thing. If somebody enjoys that, to make them and give them to your pastor to take on pastoral visits. And like I said, we always need prayer warriors. Everybody can pray. And it impressed me in reading in my devotions one day. Samuel cried out to God all night because Saul had been disobedient and he hadn't destroyed all the plunder that he had taken when they attacked the Amalekites. And Samuel was really had care and concern, and he prayed all night. So what about us? Do we care for those that we know that are struggling? And prayer is so powerful. An example of that, too, is I really feel that when we were in Asia, I don't know if we'd have made it if it wouldn't have been for the prayers of people back home or even over there. It just blessed us so much when somebody would say, I pray for you every day. That means so much. And then there are times, you know, wherever you're serving, you might think, well, I just don't have what it takes. Guess what? You don't. But God does. God has more than what it takes, and what he has is even better. And so we don't have what it takes, but God does. And time again, when we were in Asia, we saw how God supplied our needs of strength and just our material needs or whatever it was. And I really believe somebody was praying. Another way to reach out might be an idea I got from a lady from our church. She loves to read, and then she gives the book away. Rather than make a big, full library, she gives them away. And she's mailed me about 3 books when we were in Thailand. And they were really a blessing. They weren't novels. They were stories of people, true stories of people and their journey. And that was a real blessing, to read the book, but also to know that she thought of me. Or maybe you could have a regular tea time ministry. I read about an elderly lady who lived in an apartment complex, and she had tea ready every day at a certain time. And the other residents knew that. And she never knew who would come, but she was never disappointed. Somebody always showed up. She'd let her door open a crack, and they'd come in, and they'd have tea together. She just had tea and a small tidbit of a cracker. She wasn't a rich lady. She was a poor lady. But it was a delight to so many there in that complex. And then one day, she didn't come to the door. So upon investigation, she had the table all set, but she was in bed and had passed away. She was really in service till the last minute, wasn't she? And I read a friend of mine's account on Facebook. She was sitting on the couch, she said, and suddenly her 9 and 7-year-old nieces came running up and said, Auntie, may we give you a back rub and a foot soak and back rub? She said, I was so blessed. And when we visited Ernie, Lee rubbed Ernie's feet. The Moomaws like their feet rubbed. And so he visited him, and then the next day he passed on. But Lee asked him, he said, does it feel good? And you know Ernie, he said, is the Pope Catholic? But you know, I should pause right now, and perhaps you have something you'd like to share, an idea or something that you know somebody does that's just really not a big showy thing, but just a blessing to those that they minister to.
I think sometimes it's hard for older people to cook. You know, they eat so little, and it's just them. And we took meals in and blessed them with meals once in a while.
That's great. I mean, you have just enough left over from your meal that you can, one or two people would enjoy. That's great. Anybody else?
A recent low time when I was feeling very unneeded, I started writing to a young man in prison.
That's great.
And I didn't know the first time if he'd respond, but he wrote back. And we've been writing regularly ever since.
That's marvelous. That was a project that Lee had for one of his classes at SMBI. He said, I want you to bless 5 people or something today and then come back and report. Well, the report was they were blessed. So blessed.
I grade Bible courses. That's a blessing to them. Grade Bible courses.
Oh, well, that's good.
Tidbits in.
Mm-hmm.
And also to go into prison one day a week, sharing with the ladies. I didn't want to go last week. I was tired. And I prayed about it. My daughter said, oh, come along, you can go along. And I went along. And the woman there, she just, they were so thankful that we came in. And she said, you ladies just bless us. We can just see Jesus in your hearts, inside and outside, she said.
Wow.
And you know, I told her that morning about that. That people, someone could see Jesus within me. And that was the confirmation for me to do that.
God bless you. It's great. And I'm sure you've had that experience, many of you too. You just don't feel like doing something, but you do it. And then you say, why? Wouldn't have I done it? Okay, I like Emily Barnes as an author. And she has a book that I read recently, Fill My Cup, Lord. So we hold up our cups to the loving Heavenly Father, and He cleanses us. And I feel that this is very important if we want to be effective in our reaching out and ministry to others. And she says, you know, that you're to hold up your cup to the loving Heavenly Father. He cleanses of the old and the impure. He wipes the cup clean. And then He fills it with His living water, with quietness, encouragement, and strength, and thanksgiving. And He promises transformation, and that's a gift from Him. So His blessings flow, and my cup overflows. But in order to have that overflow, I believe first we must surrender. If we hold up our cup to Christ, which I have done here, it's probably not a one-time thing. Many of you, I'm sure, have had times in your life that were very challenging. And it brings us to our knees and surrender to Him again. So one time doesn't do it. But if we lift up our cups, we can receive that blessing. He empties it out and fills it with His living water. And you know, this teacup didn't become beautiful by not going through some tough things. It had to be molded. It had to be put through the heat and the fire, and then painted and come out refined. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. He doesn't test us just to see if we'll make it through. But whatever pain that we have of the past or present, or suffering that we undergo, He's trying to show His power within us and to redeem us. And so we have to hold out our cups to Him. And that's one thing, too, that's so important, I think. The mentoring program at IGO was to help students to see that their baggage or the difficulties that they were through can be turned into stepping stones and really be tools for use in the kingdom. And that's another thing, that a lot of you would be at the age that's very good for mentoring. Maybe you see a young girl in your congregation or wherever that seems to be struggling. Don't let her just struggle. You can't maybe go right. If you don't have a relationship with her, you can't just go force her. But build a relationship with them, just friends. And then you can say, you know, are you struggling? What could I do to help? And she may just be so glad to dialogue with you and tell you what her problems are. And this is so good for single people, too. Perhaps there's a school teacher from another state at your church school, and she feels alone. Yeah, she has friends, but mom's not there, and you know, the familiar is not there. And singles could, well, others too, but especially the singles could really reach out to her and minister to her and be a, like a big sister or even a mom. And there's so many people that you're just at the perfect age to mentor and have those, that baggage that they're carrying turn into useful things for the kingdom of God. You know, if you've been through a certain trial yourself, you're able to understand somebody that's going through something similar, and you can be such an asset. But first of all, we have to surrender our life to Christ and be ready for that if He asks us to do that. And then the second thing that I think we need to do, we surrender, but then we serve. We don't just surrender to our life to God and then say, I'm fine, I'll just sit here. No, we want to serve God. That stream of living water that the Lord supplies, when we empty our cup out, should keep on flowing. It shouldn't stop with me. It should keep on going. And we need to pass it on to others in service. And service is honoring God by what He has told us to do. And I believe by that surrender and willingness to serve, we understand better what He does want us to do. So, as we hold up our cups to the Lord and we turn it upside down and get rid of our agenda, He can fill that cup to full and overflowing. And that cup can flow from cup to cup to cup. So I have a bunch of cups over here, and if you would like to go over and get one, and then I want to have prayer, and for those who want, and we will lift our cups up to the Lord and empty them out. So you can have your pick over here, and then after our after it's over, you can come get your matching saucer. Some of these do not have salt, but yeah, just quickly pick a cup. Unless you really don't want to participate, that's fine. I might be a few short. I'm sorry if a few of you didn't get any. If you give me your name, I'll see you get one. So, like I said, I want to give you the choice. I'm not forcing you to do this, but to lift up your cup to the Lord, and we're going to pour out the remains of our agenda. We're going to let Him fill it with His living water and love, and then that cup of filled water will just flow from cup to cup to cup. So, those who would like can stand up and hold their cups as I pray, and you may hold them up. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity to love and serve You. Father, You are an awesome God. And we can only do this because You first loved us and gave Yourself to redeem us. Cleanse these earthen vessels of selfishness and power games. Help us to acquire a taste and desire to serve others with Your love, Your service, and Your power. And thank You that You can take our blunders and make Your living water to sparkle even when served from our cracked cups. And as Psalms 1:3 says, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. You are the Creator who does not grow weary or tired, or Your understanding we cannot fathom. You give us strength to the weary and the and increase the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary and tired and stumble and fall, but all those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings of eagles. We will run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. So we need not fear, for you are with us. Strengthen us, O Lord, and help us, and uphold us with your right hand. Ripen the fruits of the Spirit in us, and help us to bear that fruit. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. Okay, we're done a little early, but if anybody has anything they would like to share, I would love to hear it. And so would everybody else, I'm sure.
I would like to share something about you, Joyce. Me and IGO team come to Bangladesh, and they just love Joyce. They said she has helped me so much. And I was thinking, you know, when you said you didn't relate a lot, you had such an impact on those girls.
Thank you. Praise God. You don't always feel like you're making an impact. But, yeah. Oh, we had such a wonderful time up in Bangladesh visiting Marlon and Alice.
Joyce and I would go on walks, and when she went to Thailand, I really missed her.
Those were good walks.
Well, you're just really affirming what I really observed, is when people retire and don't do anything, it seems like they can really be hit with some pretty serious health problems. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for us to stay active and to really find something to continue to find purpose in.
Mm-hmm.
I love the emphasis of that.